Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our transfigured Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow children of God, oh, the good old days. How it would be good to be there again. Every once in a while, we find ourselves saying those words, don't we? Maybe when you look at young children running around so full of energy and carefree of all the problems of this world, we can think, oh, how good it would be to be that young again. Or you recall the days of your high school, which are called the best 4 years of your life. And maybe at the time you didn't think that was true. But now you look back and think, oh, how good it would be to relive those memories. Or when you have children and grandchildren, they're so young at first, but then time flies by and they're so much older. And you think, oh, how good it would be to be there again when they were so young, to cherish that time. In the end, we all wish we knew when the good days are before we leave them. Peter had one of those moments, but instantly Peter knew how good it was at that time. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured in all of his glory and splendor and majesty. And Peter declared, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And not only was that true for Peter, it's true for you and me as well. But why did Peter say, Lord, it is good for us to be here? Well, to fully understand and appreciate why Peter said these words, we need to understand the context of what was happening. Matthew told us that the transfiguration happened 6 days later after a certain event. So what happened 6 days earlier? 6 days earlier, Jesus was with his disciples privately, and he asked them, who do the people say I am? And the disciples said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're another prophet. But then Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was a beautiful confession of faith from Peter. He knew exactly who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. But then at that moment, Jesus told his disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and there he would suffer, die, and rise again on the third day. When Peter heard this, he pulled Jesus aside and he told Jesus, don't say these things. This is not going to happen to you. In turn, Jesus rebuked Peter by saying, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then he told the rest of his disciples that they too would suffer as they carried their crosses to follow him. That's what happened 6 days earlier. So can you just imagine what must have been going through Peter's mind? He must have been wondering, if Jesus is the Son of God, then he can't suffer and die. And yet if Jesus is saying that he is going to suffer and die, then is he really the Son of God? And if he tells us that we too are going to suffer as we follow him, then should we be following him? These are the things that Peter could have been thinking in his mind. But there on the mountain, everything became clear for Peter and the disciples. There Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Words do not do it justice to fully picture what this must have been like. Jesus' clothes were brighter than light. His face shone brighter than the sun. You get this picture that the disciples couldn't even look at Jesus as he was transfigured in all of his glory. But there was no mistake for Peter and the disciples to know who Jesus was. It was clear to them that Jesus was the Son of God. It was at this moment that Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In Mark's gospel of this account, he tells us that when Peter said these words, he really didn't know what he was saying. This was just a spur-of-the-moment thing for Peter. But can you blame him for saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here"? There, Peter was with Jesus in all of his glory and splendor and majesty. There was Moses and Elijah, two of the most prominent people of the Old Testament, with glorified bodies and talking with Jesus. Who of us here doesn't look forward to the day that we will be with the Lord in all of his glory and to be with all the other believers who put their faith in him? We long for that day. And for us Christians, that day will eventually come, and it will be good for us to be with the Lord. But listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you next. It is good for us to be with the Lord, but it is better to be with the Lord as he is and not in the way we want him to be. What do I mean by that? Remember the context of what was happening here with Jesus' transfiguration. Earlier, he told his disciples that he was going to suffer, die, and rise again. He told his disciples that they too would suffer as they followed him. This is not what Peter wanted. And you can see that in his words, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Essentially, Peter was telling Jesus, "We don't need to go down from this mountain. Jesus, you don't need to suffer. We don't need to suffer as we follow you. You can remain here on this mountain in all of your glory, and Lord, it would be good for us to be here." It was good for Peter to be with the Lord, but Peter wanted to be with Jesus as he wanted Jesus to be with him. We do the exact same thing. In our minds, we have this idea of who our God should be. In our mind, we have this idea of what God should do for us in our lives. In our minds, we have this idea of how our life should be. But when those things don't happen, we can wonder, is it really good for us to be here with the Lord? You can look at all the other false Christian churches that preach against God's word and its truth and purity, and yet they have thousands of people in attendance. Whereas the churches that remain true to God's word and its truth and purity, those churches seem to be dwindling and disappearing. We can pray to God for certain things for so long. We can pour out our tears to God, asking him to remove sufferings and hardships in our lives. but nothing changes. It just seems like God doesn't listen to our prayers or he doesn't care about them. And so we may wonder, is it really good for us to be with the Lord in prayer when they're not always answered? Or when we live our lives as best as we can to follow God's commands, we can look at the wicked who do not desire to follow God or obey his commands. And it seems like they prosper in life. Their lives are full of joy. And we who follow Christ suffer and have hardships. And so we may wonder, is it really good for us to be here with the Lord as we serve him and yet we suffer? Just like Peter, we can want to be with the Lord as we want him to be. And let's suppose God listened to us. Just imagine if Jesus listened to Peter and he remained on that mountain in all of his glory. What good would that have done? Jesus would still be on that mountain in all of his glory. But what benefit would that be for you and me? Nothing. And so we may ask the question, why was Jesus transfigured in all of his glory at this moment? It was done to show the disciples that he truly was the Son of God and to prepare them for what was going to happen in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Jesus would suffer and die. And now imagine if you were one of the 12 disciples and you saw that. You might have been wondering, is Jesus the true Son of God? But hopefully they could look back at this account and remember that Jesus stood before them in all of his glory and splendor and majesty. And if this weren't enough for the disciples to realize that Jesus was the Son of God, the voice of God the Father from heaven spoke these words, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." God made it crystal clear that Jesus was his Son. God made it crystal clear that Jesus was perfect, for only those who are perfect is God pleased with. And God made it crystal clear to the disciples that they were to listen to Jesus, even including how he said he would suffer and die and rise again. When the disciples heard this voice, they fell down to the ground, trembling with fear. At that moment, they must have thought that it was not good for them to be there with the Lord. We too would do the same thing. If Jesus was transfigured before us right now in all of his glory and splendor and majesty, we would not be standing in front of him with perfection and glory. We would only be standing in front of him covered with all of our sins. We would tremble with fear. And that's how it should remain, that we would be utterly terrified of our glorious and majestic God. There is no reason for us to be with him. But that didn't remain for the disciples. Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." Notice that it was not Jesus in all of his glory and splendor and majesty that approached the disciples. Instead, it was Jesus who set aside his glory. He approached them, he gently touched them and said, "Do not be afraid." When the disciples saw Jesus in this way, their fears were removed. So Jesus came to his disciples not as they wanted him to be, but as they needed him to be. And it didn't stop there. Jesus continued to set aside his glory. He came down from that mountain and he went to a different mountain, the Mount of Calvary in Jerusalem. There, Jesus suffered in our place. There, Jesus died for our sins as our perfect substitute. There, Jesus rose from the dead for our justification. And so here, we see the ultimate glory of Jesus. Not only as he revealed himself in all of his glory as the Son of God, but also in the sense that he would set aside that glory so that he could be our Savior. It was good for us, for the Lord to be there in that way. He came to us as we needed him to be for us and for our salvation. And that's the lesson we really want to learn here. Sometimes we may wonder why God doesn't show himself right now in all of his glory, especially to the wicked and to those false churches that are preaching against his word. But remember that God does reveal his glory. He just does it through simple means, the means of grace in word and sacrament. So even though those false churches may have thousands of people in attendance, it is good for us to be here in our church. Here we have the sacrament of baptism, and we witnessed that miracle this morning when a young child was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and became a child of God. Here we have Scripture, which Peter told us is not something created by man, but it is the very words of God. In the Bible, God speaks to us and he creates and strengthens our faith. Here we have the sacrament of Holy Communion, where our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gives us his body and blood for us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, it is good for us to be here in church. And it's also good for us to be with the Lord in every other aspect of life. Just to prove how true this is, think about Moses and Elijah that we heard this morning. They were two of the most prominent people in the Old Testament, and yet their lives were not easy. They suffered. They had hardships. At one point, Elijah was so depressed that he prayed to God to take his life because he thought he was the only believer left. But the glory of the Lord was still with them. And in most ways, the glory of the Lord appeared to them in simple means. The glory of the Lord appeared to Moses in a simple burning bush. The glory of the Lord appeared to Elijah in a simple, small, gentle voice. There he encouraged them to continue to follow him and to serve him. That's what they needed from the Lord. And it was good for them to be with the Lord because look at where they are now. They are with our glorious Lord and Savior in heaven. And this applies to us as well. So even though we may suffer as we follow Christ, even though it may seem like God doesn't listen to our prayers, the glory of the Lord is still with us. The glory of the Lord tells us in his word that the sufferings that we endure, we are sharing in the same sufferings that Christ endured for us. The glory of the Lord tells us in his word that when we pray to him, he listens to every word. The Holy Spirit intercedes in our behalf, and he answers our prayers according to his good and gracious will. It is good for us to be with the Lord. And one day, just like Moses and Elijah, we will be with the Lord in all of his glory in heaven. Lord, it is good for us to be here on this Transfiguration Sunday. For here we see Jesus revealed in all of his glory as the Son of God. Here we see Jesus setting aside his glory for us and for our salvation. And the glory of the Lord is with us as we continue to worship Him, to serve Him, and to pray to Him. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in the front part of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.